Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. We talk with some of the people who bicycle San Francisco, which as a world-class city is also fast becoming one of the planet's bike-friendliest. Home to 744,000 persons, we talked with some of those who make up the growing number of cyclists and regularly ride the Golden Gate City. It's our hope that in conjunction with the San Francisco Bike and Report Card, and soon the About San Francisco excerpt will appear in my upcoming book, How America Can Bike and Grow Rich, both of which you can find at bikeroute.com, that you will go away with a better feeling for what it's like to cycle the streets of San Francisco.
We have on the line with us a brilliant San Francisco journalist who lives every aspect of her life as the art form that it is. From producing radio news programs to her regular appearances as a TV commentator and public speaker in conferences all over the world, Judy B. is also a jazz-trained vocalist who performs and teaches all over the San Francisco Bay Area.
So how are you doing today, Judy?
I'm feeling great, Martin. Thanks. How are you?
All right. I'm great. Thanks for asking. I'm going to need to know as we dive into this thing for the listeners out there that are wondering why we're talking to Judy B. I'm going to get kind of an overview of who you are as you relate to San Francisco cycling, and then we'll jump into the questions. First, straight away, I want to know what kind of cyclist you are. There's recreation cyclists, there's transportation cyclists, there's the weekend hammerheads, things like that. Where would you put yourself?
Well, if you're talking about hammerheads as in sharks, I would be more of a leopard shark. So I would, as a cyclist, I would say I'm more of a transportation cyclist. Mm-hmm. I use my bike for transportation when I need to run an errand, when I go to work, and the byproduct of that is that I get great exercise. I'm kind of a lazy person, and I don't really do gyms, so I think of my bike as a way to get to places and as a way to stay in shape.
Excellent. Wow. So within the context of all that, are you car-free?
I am car-free.
And how long have you been car-free?
I have been car-free since the summer of 2004.
Great. All right.
And before that, I was actually car-free for several years, but I inherited a car from the brother of a friend, and so I had a two-year stint of being a car owner again.
A sinner, huh? He went to the dark side.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how people that have cars are always more than, if they have an extra one, always more than willing to loan you one. In the same way, cigarette smokers will always loan you a cigarette if you're out. So I think it's that evil vice type of thing that they feel like they want to share. would you agree with that?
Bicyclists also share their extra bikes, so.
Right, exactly.
You know, maybe exactly. It's possible to be a sharing person even if you have bad habits.
Okay, well, like I said, never thought of it that way, never thought about it quite that way, so thanks. How many bikes do you have, Judy?
I have one bike.
One bike? Wow.
Yes. And I live in a studio apartment, and I don't really have much room for more than that.
Okay, and that one bike is a, what kind of one bike?
It is, you know, I always forget, it's KHS.
KHS, no, I'm not so much asking about brand name. Is it a...
it's a hybrid.
Hybrid, and you've got
hybrid,
like
yeah.
Road tires, and do you have racks on it, and all that kind
I
of
have
stuff?
A basket on the front, a black wire basket on the front, and someday I'm going to get a rack for the back, but I haven't found the pannier rack combination that really says Judy B.
So. Okay. Do you have fenders and lights on your bike?
I do have lights, but no fenders.
No fenders. Okay. Great. So where that does your bike have a name?
No, I don't know.
No. Okay. No. Okay. So your KHS, does the KHS, is that a critical mass bike? Is that what you get out on critical mass with?
Oh, sure.
And do you ride critical mass to the degree of frequency?
I No, I wouldn't say I'm a regular rider. I don't like to be locked into any kind of routine. And when I say I don't like to be locked into any kind of routine, that goes for absolutely anything. And so if I, I'll ride it a few times in a row and then I'll take some time off, and maybe I don't like to be predictable, or I don't know what, but
Great. Okay. How about year round? Are you on your bike year round there in the city? You ride in the rain?
I don't really ride in the rain. It's pretty rare for me to ride in the rain.
Okay. You said you don't ride in the rain.
That's right.
Okay. How do you get from point A to point B if there's a rain circumstance that's in your
I
way?
walk,
You
or I
walk.
use public transportation.
Great. Okay. So it sounds to me like that's pretty readily accessible and available to you and for you, huh? There in San Francisco.
Well, no, it's come and go. I mean, it's not as reliable as I think a public transportation system should be in a world-class city, but it's what we have, so that's what I work with.
Okay, so does it ever get too cold for you to ride there?
Yeah, that's another reason why I don't ride so much in the winter. Although sometimes when it's raining, it's not as cold as when it's not raining here, but I am not crazy about riding when it's really cold enough to hurt my ears, for the cold to get into my ears. That's it's kind of my barometer, my temperature, my inner thermostat. That's when it's too cold for me.
Well, I want to come back to that as we talk about fog, but before we get there, I want to talk about the hills. San Francisco has some pretty legendary hills. I think there's a 31.8% hill that Frank Chan's going to talk about when we get him on the show, that he goes straight up, fueled by coffee. And how do you deal with the hills?
Well, it's an interesting development that I've been riding more seriously for the last 2 years, and I have found that the hills are not so much of an issue. And it very well might be the fact that I've seen Frank Chan's movie about 5 times, and I think it's really a great piece of work. It's entertaining and inspiring, and it's also something that he said, is that you can really cut down on your arrival time if you take hills rather than plan routes around them, because it does add time to avoid going up the hill. And so I've done a little bit more of that lately. Again, I think I said earlier, I'm a little bit of a lazy person, so I tend to plan my route around hills. But if I'm with a group of people who are leading me up a hill, I'm not going to complain. I don't know that I've ever ridden any of the 6 steepest peaks that Frank rode in his film, but I have ridden up Steiner Hill from the marina, and that's pretty steep. And I mean, I think it's I'm a big believer of start where you are, and where I was 2 years ago was really not into hills, but now I'm more open to that. So it's kind of fun.
So there are ways around them, I guess, with
Oh, sure. Well, the Bicycle Coalition has a map that it gives all members that shows the different hills all over town, and it's helpful if you're riding or if you're walking. And so you can certainly plan a trip around the steepest hills.
Okay, San Francisco's got some legendary fog, and you get that year round. I think it's
Yes.
more prevalent in the summer even.
It is.
And it was Mark Twain that once said that the coldest day he ever spent was a summer day in San Francisco. I think I may not be exact on the quote, but something along those lines. I know from having lived in Santa Cruz for a lot of years that you got seasons. You got to dress for all during the summer. You got to be ready for extreme hot and extreme cold and everything in between. Is that the way you show up in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think it is important to have layers. It's a very rare day that doesn't turn cold around 4 p.m. It's not before then. But the fog is not unbearable. I think it certainly gets colder here in the winter than it ever is in the summer. So, you know, Mark Twain just didn't stick around long enough.
But he wasn't dressed. He wasn't dressed for it, though.
No, yeah, but yeah. No, it's true. It's true that it is, that the summers are cold, and so I have arm warmers that are great because you can wear them when it's chilly, and then when you get back in the sun, you can pull them off, and you usually wear them with a short-sleeved shirt, or sometimes I wear them with a tank top, and they come up pretty much to my upper arms, and it's pretty good. And I have a lightweight windbreaker type of thing that fits in a bag that fits pretty much in a saddlebag. I mean, you can roll it up almost and stick it in a pocket. So, you know, you just kind of learn different ways to deal with the weather. And part of the reason we're here is because it's not a sweltering heat and it's not a freezing cold. So we have chosen to live here and are happy with figuring out a way to, you know, be comfortable whatever the season.
Mm-hmm. That jacket that you're talking about, is that a windbreaker type of
yes.
One?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And it's specifically for bicycle riders. It has a little hook for your thumb, which I absolutely love, so it keeps the sleeve down over your gloves.
Wow, who makes it?
Salomon.
Selman?
Or Solomon.
Solomon.
I don't know.
Okay.
Solomon, S-A-L-A.
Great. Yeah, excellent. Wow. How do motorists treat you in San Francisco?
I beg your pardon?
How do motorists treat you there, car drivers?
Oh, you know, it's kind of mixed. And what is really interesting to me is that when I have done stupid bicycle moves, people are really nice to me. Mm-hmm. But when I've been yelled at is when I'm just riding down the street minding my own business. Someone will come up and say, get off the road, or, you know, just lay on the horn or something. And my tack is to just wave in a friendly way as if the person is just saying hi to me because I don't want to get drawn into their aggro scene. And also it just makes them madder when you don't get into their vibe. So.
Right.
It kind of beats them.
Do you feel like you've been riding long enough, Judy, in San Francisco to have seen the same kind of change, for example, that Andy Thornley has seen? Where the
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't think so. You know, I have a friend who does not live in San Francisco anymore, and I remember when she rode the critical mass of, I want to say, 1997. Yeah. That was...
The Willie Brown.
The crackdown, And I certainly haven't seen anything like that.
Okay. So it's been, for the most part, you don't feel like motorists are an overbearing presence in your riding. It's everyone's kind of cooperating, sort of.
Well, motorists are not an overbearing presence. They're, you know, maybe one trip out of 10, I run into someone who either drives by me aggressively or makes a gesture or yells or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not regular.
Great. Well, that's good. And I'm wondering if that's probably out-of-town cycle or motorists that are lost and very bewildered and frustrated because it's so easy to get lost in San Francisco and get very agitated and taken out on a bike rider. Wow.
Well, and it's very difficult to for a motorist. There are a lot of places where they can't turn left.
Right.
And, of course, on a bike, I don't have a problem turning left.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it can be frustrating, but it's still not an excuse, you know.
Correct.
But
I agree with that, yes. Have you ever gone down on any of the rail or cable car tracks you see everywhere in San Francisco?
Have ever been stuck in one?
Yeah, have they ever swallowed your wheel? Have you ever crashed on one?
No, I did skid across a rail once, but I was able to catch myself quickly.
Okay.
I have been warned so many times when I started bicycling. So many people warned me about the tracks that I'm really super vigilant when
good.
I'm around them.
Good. All right. How about car doors? Do you see a lot of those in your path?
You know, I would say every time I'm on my bike, that's something that I think about, that I'm very, very aware of. And that's that's the main thing that I keep in mind, that I have to keep my focus, that it's, that I can't daydream while I'm riding. I really have to watch where I'm going, because I have had not exactly close calls, but I have been riding along the street and people pop out of their cars and I know that they did not look back to see me.
Right.
And it happened once, it's happened more than once, but when someone does look back and look for me, then I make sure that I say, hey, thanks for looking out when I ride by, to reinforce that, yeah, it's really important to do that so that you don't nail somebody.
Right. Wow. Okay, well, we've got all these gotchas in San Francisco you've got to be aware of. You've got the cable car tracks. You've got the trolley tracks. You've got the fog. You've got the car doors on the hills. Do you see the future of cycling very much on bikes there, kids?
I hope so. I really hope that that's the way things are moving.
We've had some setbacks lately, but
I hope that's the way it goes.
Julie, the question was, do you see many kids on bikes in San Francisco?
Oh, do I see kids on bikes?
Yeah.
Not as many as I would like to, because, you know, that's where I found my love of bicycling, is as a kid, and I think that it's a great first taste of freedom and responsibility with your time, you know, for a kid, and I would like to see bike racks high schools, for example, or even other schools, so that kids can ride to school and there's a safe place to put their bikes. So I see, you know, I see some, but not as many as I'd like to, I think.
Wow, that's sad. So, like, in the neighborhoods, do you ever venture out into the neighborhoods and out by Golden Gate Park and things like that, the avenues? Is there a greater preponderance of children on bicycles there, maybe, hopefully? Or no?
I'm not sure. No. I don't cycle out to the avenues very often. In my neighborhood, there are a few kids who ride bikes, and I see them around. But, I mean, to what I remember childhood being, the summer was all bikes.
Right.
You know, I see kids kind of riding around, but I mean, we would ride to the park, we would ride to the swimming pool, to the library, to the movies, you know. So, and I don't know, maybe I'm just not around kids.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, it's funny because that's definitely our future, and all too often so many of them are kind of inside of iron dinosaurs being traipsed about and shuttled about by mom and dad from point A to point B, so they don't get to do the kinds of things we did as kids, which is sad, really sad.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of San Francisco cycling, what's your favorite thing about it?
My favorite thing about San Francisco cycling is the vistas that a person comes upon turning a corner or cresting a hill and seeing the bay or the ocean or the East Bay or Angel Island or Tiburon. It's so exciting for me to see those things and then to be able to stop my bike and just stand there and stare.
Wow. Wow. That's exciting. Speaking of Angel Island, have you ever ridden a bike on that?
You know, I want to do that every summer I've been here. I've wanted to go over to Angel Island, and I think it's one of those things that I put on the back burner and I haven't just actually done, and I have to do it. I'd love to camp out there, and that I know requires some reservations. But I would love to take my bike over there.
It's okay. It's not as exciting as San Francisco.
It's not very big.
No,
so it probably
you get
not
bored.
Take
yeah,
long.
You get bored pretty quickly. Correct. Yes, indeed. How about Golden Gate Park? Do you bike much there?
I do.
Yeah.
I do bike through the park.
Car-free Sundays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one still hopes that we'll have car-free Saturdays.
Great. Yes, yeah, someday. Boy, wow.
We're crossing our fingers.
I know it. Working
toward that.
How often do you ride Golden Gate Bridge?
I have only ridden that one time because I have a weird vertigo that overcomes me when I do it alone. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem when I'm with someone,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so acutely aware of how high I am
mm-hmm.
that when I'm alone and I'm not thinking about following the person in front of me or you know, something else, then I just get weirded out. So I had it by myself. I mean, I tried twice, and the same thing happened. I get like a third of the way, and I think, no, I don't feel like it.
So, like, where do you ever like bike out to the Cliff House, or like, do you have any like recreational rides you do there, of destinations that crop up in your
mind?
Yeah,
I like to ride. I'm in the Fillmore, and mm-hmm. I like to ride up Steiner Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And down into the marina through Christie Field and mm-hmm. sometimes stopping along someplace in Christie Field and then to North Point or sort of up to the Golden Gate Bridge, but not really over. Although there's so many cars around there that it's not really a peaceful place to look out at the ocean. So North Point is usually my stopping point.
We've asked some of the other cyclists.
Or Fort Point. I'm sorry, Fort Point.
Correct, yeah, right there at the base of the bridge, yeah. Is there a hangout for cyclists in San Francisco? A pub or a bike shop or a favorite place that you like to go or the most cyclists go? Or yeah, is there any kind
of... Well, of course, I'm going to say what everyone else says, and that's Zeitgeist,
mm-hmm.
where bikes are welcome inside and into the garden in the back.
Okay.
And
is that on Valencia?
That's on Valencia mm-hmm. at DeBose.
Mm-hmm.
Or at that point, I think it's called 13th Street.
Right.
So, I don't know about hangouts. I've never been a real hangout person.
Okay.
So, you know, I just go where, you know, I one of the things I love about cycling is that you can be riding along and see a new place and just say, hey, let's circle back and go to that place. You don't have to worry about looking for a parking space. You don't have to, you know, all you have to do is, you know, you just stop and you're there.
Great. Excellent. I like that too. Yes. Well, we've gotten a feel for San Francisco cycling as seen through the eyes of Judy B. What do you think about a network of safely bikeable roads that connect to Boston? Called the National Bicycle Greenway.
I think that's a fantastic idea. I think what a great destination in that the journey itself is the destination. I think that would be wonderful. I mean, I don't know why anybody would have an argument against it.
Great. I love it. Judy, is there anything that we didn't cover? Anything you'd like to add about biking in the city?
Well, I have to say that the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition is a big reason why I am so enthusiastic about bicycling, because the people in the Bicycle Coalition are even more than I hoped they would be. I joined because I was, you know, I had a bike and I wanted to cycle more, and I thought, well, where can I meet people who are into cycling? I thought, well, I'll go to the Bicycle Coalition. They're probably going to be hardcore cyclists, and they're going to be bike messengers, and they're going to be racers, and they're going to be way beyond me, but be a place where people can give me tips and what have you. And what I found is that there are all kinds of cyclists, and they're just really kind, friendly people. And I'm an enthusiastic supporter, and I want to give back what I have received. And every time, the more I give, the more I get from that organization. And honestly, I've done a lot of volunteering in my life, and I haven't come across that kind of enthusiasm and neighborliness and community as I have with the SFBC. And I think that they're doing great things to build a safe, complete network for cyclists in San Francisco. And I'm very, very glad they're here.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Feels great to be so enthusiastic about a local organization. I mean, I just think they contribute so much to this city.
And this is coming from a non-joiner, right?
You know what? You caught me. You're absolutely right.
Wow. I'm impressed. I'm majorly impressed. Wow. Okay, Judy, that's about all we have time for right about now. So I just got to say thanks for spending some time with us.
And, oh, it was my pleasure, Martin. Thank you for inviting me.
Wow. This is going to be a great podcast to have up and available for other people to kind of participate in. So just thanks. Thanks a couple billion, and thanks for you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for you.
All right, Judy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.